Hi, I'm Heather Markell, and this is the first of a video series that I am running to hopefully inspire those of you out there that have wanted to travel the world for a long time, but would have to leave stability to pursue a life that really isn't that stable, and you might be kind of scared about it on many levels. So I'm going to be interviewing people that I meet around the world who have done just that, left stability for a life of travel, and let's find out about their experiences. So with me today is my first interviewee, Noah.
Hello.
Where are you from again?
I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, United States.
Fairbanks, Alaska. And we are in San Pedro de Atacama. Behind us is the lovely plaza here, and not very good Wi-Fi, but
no, the Wi-Fi is in and out. We're out in the middle of the desert. There's nothing around in many hundreds of kilometers, and Wi-Fi just fades in and out. Sometimes it doesn't work at all. Sometimes electricity doesn't work at all. Sometimes water doesn't work at all. Welcome to the Atacama Desert. Speaking of stability, not the most stable place to live, but I like it.
Cool. So tell us, so you were living in America.
Yes.
And you were working in corporate.
Yep.
What exactly was the stability, a stable situation you left work-wise? And
I worked in corporate New York. I worked for a company called Wolters Kluwer, is the bigger company. I worked for CoreSearch, it's trademark research. So basically, I'm doing the dirty work for corporate trademark lawyers. Huge clients like Samsung, McDonald's, Pepsi, etc. were clients. But basically, if they want to come out with Pepsi One, they need to know whether they're going to get sued or not. So they would send me the trademark Pepsi One in beverages or food industry, and then I would come through the federal database, compile a huge list of information, hope that it was right, send it out to them, and then based on that information, they decide whether they can have the new trademark or not.
Okay, so pretty decent, reliable income.
I kept on moving up where I worked. So amazingly, considering what I do now, I was quite good at corporate. So like, I think I started at around $34,000 a year and then just moved up from there. And when I was in management, I was making like 80,000 plus bonuses, and
wow,
it was a stable job. Like,
yeah,
I had enough money to live in New York City and be comfortable. And then I took it out remotely, and I was living in Northern Michigan with it, and you're more than comfortable. I mean,
yeah,
you can absolutely afford to do whatever you want. You can build a savings. This is what a lot of people in the States would consider a dream job, just because it pays you enough to not just do okay, but just like have extra money, save money, etc.
So if you had all that stability, why,
yeah,
did you decide to leave it?
A certain thing kind of triggered it. I broke up with my ex-wife in 2016. So like, when I was married, obviously a huge goal of mine was just to be stable, to be financially independent, to have enough money to support our lives, our dreams, whatever we wanted to do together. And then when I broke up with Katya, it just shifted and changed completely, because then I was like, okay, now I don't need all this stability. I don't need all this money. And like, I'm miserable because my heart is broken. What am I going to do to turn this all around and figure it out? And I've been a freelance photographer for about 8 years. I was doing it when I worked in corporate as well. But at that point in 2016, I just made the choice. I'm going to get rid of my house, get rid of my car, sell everything I can possibly sell, and like, sacrifice all of that comfort and that stability to move into my parents upstairs, work 7-10 hour days a week in a job that I hated in corporate, work a lot of overtime, and just stack money. And then when I hit my financial goal, I figured it'd probably take me about 2 years, when I hit my financial goal of how much I wanted to just go launch and just be out in the world, I could leave. And so that's exactly what I did last March. I got to it, I said goodbye to corporate. They offered me a bunch more money to stay. I told them no, and I walked. And I've been traveling and doing what I love doing ever since, and it's been beautiful.
So, I think you mentioned most of it, but in terms of what you had to give up, right?
Yeah.
We've mentioned.
I mean, you're giving up like a nice mortgage, a nice car, a nice wife, flat screen TVs, computers. Just living in a safe neighborhood, comfort and just stability of like living in a beautiful place that you love with everything paid for, your bills taken care of, and you throw that all away for, like, now I work freelance, so sometimes I make money, sometimes I don't. I have to be very careful with my financial choices because I do not have a lot of operating money. And, like, when I run out of money, I'm just gonna have to go home back to my sacrificed life. That's the other thing, is that, like, I'm gonna go home at some point because, like, I could continue to do this in San Pedro, but I wanna keep moving. And so I'm gonna just keep moving and keep going. But, like, you have to face this, like, social image thing of, like, when I go back home, a lot of people that I know and a lot of friends that might not even be friends anymore are just gonna be like, look, like, you, like, I'm still living the dream. Like, you sacrificed, like, the American dream to go live this, like, other dream that you thought might work, and now you're just, like, here. Like, you're living at home. Like, you don't have a house. Like, you don't have a family.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's a lot of, like, social image sacrifice and just being able to deal with, you know, people may like my dream more than theirs, but they're definitely not willing to admit it, and they would love to show off to me that their dream and the dream that I left is actually working better than the one that I left to pursue. Because now I'm just back home. And what do I have? I have nothing left.
Well,
I have
but
no
of course,
things.
Of course, it also is helpful if someone wants to do what you're doing but
yeah.
can't.
Yeah.
It makes them feel better to be able to say, oh, I think my life is better. So thank God it made me that,
absolutely.
Right?
and you deal with that all the time. I've lost a lot of friends over doing this because they just, unfortunately, jealously just can't handle the fact that I just launched my life, like, literally just threw it off a cliff, had no idea where it would land, sacrificed every stability to go do it, and they were kind of okay with it while it wasn't working, but ever since it started working, and they're seeing that I can just continue to go do this, then they're pissed,
okay.
Then they're not happy with it anymore,
okay.
Because they see what they don't want to see, which is that you can just jump for it, and it can work, and you might land on your feet, and like that. You don't know. That's the thing with people. People are very afraid. You don't know what's going to work if you don't try it.
Right.
So, like, people are like, oh, I could never live my dreams. Yeah, but have you tried living them? And I think that's a very valid thing with this, is just, like, you have to be willing to sacrifice all comfort and stability to just take a shot at living a way that you want to live. And it might not work. Go to the slot machine that gives you a 1 in 300 chance at making it, and you better pray that you land up, you get the 1 in 300 chance, because unfortunately people try to do this all the time and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I also feel like that is a lot more up to them than it is the world. If you're determined and you work hard at it and you won't give up and you're talented at what you do, it might take a long time. There might not be any time frame. Like, there's no time frame for me. This is like a life project.
Yep.
It's not, like, I've had a good start in like 15 months. But like, people are like, oh, cool, like you made it. Like, no, like not at all. Like this,
right.
this is forever. Like 15 years from now, I could be doing really well with this because of what I set in place today. But it's very realistic that it may take that much time to get the stability back.
Yep.
If this is what I want to do, like, as a career. Like, right now, I'm happy because I can be self-sustaining, but that's still not stable. That's still so much less stable than what I left, of course, because it's not a regular income. It's enough to survive.
When you left to pursue this dream and start traveling, what was your goal? Was it...
Different goals, but like when I left, I started in Iceland last year, so I did not start in South America. And
Iceland's a great place to go if you haven't been.
Iceland is highly recommended. Started in Iceland, and like my goal when I quit corporate to leave was just to go out into the world, obviously really kill shots and make an impression, because like
photography
like,
shots.
I'm a photographer, so. Yeah, not drink,
shooting.
Not drink
shooting.
Shots.
Drink, not drink shots.
Yeah, my goal was to get as drunk as possible. But obviously, like, you know, what artists would tell you a lot is, like, just shut up and let your work do the talking. It's like, people talk a lot, but, like the work isn't there. So what I try to do is just be pretty quiet and then make really nice pictures. And so, I mean, the goal was just to go out, be in crazy places, shoot crazy places, get exposure, network a lot, get jobs, talk to people about what I'm doing, and try to build ways in which I could get a stream of revenue. And amazingly, it happened almost immediately.
Wow.
Which is crazy, and I got extremely lucky. I was on my last day in Iceland, and I got a job. And then I was traveling Iceland, Norway, Denmark, and Sweden. I was not paid, but free flights, free five-star hotels, free tourist activities.
That's great.
Free everything, and that was like the best start I could have possibly gotten off to. And I think it's also very important with this freelance lifestyle is to, you know, you left behind just money, 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 money. It's important to realize the power of just giving people things for free to build your resume,
yep.
Build your experience list, and like build what you do. And not necessarily free. Obviously, you don't want to do it for free, but free is okay. But trades are seriously probably the best way I work. Like, free place to stay, free food for whatever you want.
Yep.
But it's a very different lifestyle than, like, stable North American one.
Yeah.
Obviously. It's not a paycheck.
Right. Yeah. Right. Are there any unexpected things that you have learned? You took a big jump.
Yeah.
You had a goal in mind that you've started to be really successful at. You're enjoying it. What kinds of any unexpected lessons or personal lessons you've had from this experience?
Yeah, like, I'm risky, right? So one thing I've learned a lot in 15 months of travel is that...
15, like, that was 1-5.
1-5, not 50. Not yet. Is just... I'm a relatively reckless human being. I'm just not afraid, and I just don't care that much, which has huge perks, obviously, and is giant in terms of like what I've done, because like I was just not afraid enough to just go jump off a cliff. But there's been certain points, especially when I've been robbed, when things have gone wrong, when I'm not like setting up a schedule enough with travel, and then like, that results in that. Just reminders that just to be more careful while I'm traveling the world has been like a constant theme. But I feel like I've learned it, and now I'm being like more careful.
Yeah.
I never want to get to the point where I'm afraid, because just being kind of fearless helps a lot with world travel. But just finding that happy medium of not being scared of the world, but at the same time being aware of what's around you and being aware of how situations and what you're doing can get you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Like I've had situations like last year in Rome where there was just several ways in which I set up myself getting robbed. And you can say that it's the fault of desperation in Italy or too many immigrants or whatever, but it's me just strategically setting up things to put myself into a situation in which this happened. So I'm paying a lot more attention to that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, is this a good choice? Is this a good direction that I should be going in? Do I want to get off a night bus at 4 a.m. in a crazy place? Right. Or would I rather schedule that for 9 a.m. when it's going to be safer for me?
You schedule it when it's safer, by the way. Tip.
Tip.
So what would you, if somebody were watching this video and kind of thinking about, you know, oh, this sounds like a really neat, I really want to do this. I know that there's some things that are not safe, some things that are amazing. Like what's like your one piece of advice for them?
Like one thing I would tell people to do if they want to do this, just like take the leap and just go do whatever you want to do in the world is build a stockpile of income so that you can survive and give yourself enough of a shot at it to actually... like actually make it and succeed, because it's not gonna happen quickly. Like I see people a lot, they're like, I'm gonna do it, they go out for 3 months and they come back just like, that didn't work, right? Because 3 months is not gonna get 3 months is not gonna get the job done. Like I would say have enough income or have enough money that you can go do what you want to do for like at least a year, because I think that if you try to do it less than that, your chances go down dramatically. It takes time.
Yeah.
This is not going to happen fast. And it's not going to be immediately comfortable. I mean, I think the people thing to understand is that this is not easy to do. Like, in a lot of cases, I may work harder now than I did when I was in corporate. It's just for myself.
Yeah.
But it's just because the entire business now is just me. It's like there is no boss to tell me what to do. Like, I have to get up, like, get stuff done, make things happen, network, etc. And, like, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
People look at my life like it's just a big vacation. It's not like that. Like, obviously, it's fun. I get to travel the world. Things are great. But there's a lot of work. And so I think those are the important things, is just to be financed, at least so you can do it for a while.
Yep.
Don't be disappointed if you don't start making money or making it immediately.
Right.
And look at it like long term, this is what I want to do, as opposed to short term. Like,
yep.
Like look at it as like, this could take a long time, and it could take 15 years of sacrifice, not 1 year of sacrifice to make it, which is how a lot of people that are out there doing this would tell you they did it. Like, I just wouldn't give up.
Yep.
I was broke. I've lived on the street. You know, this isn't me, but like for people I know, like I was broke, lived on the street, been homeless. All of this was me suffering through it so that I could do what I wanted to do with my life ultimately.
Yep.
And it's a huge sacrifice. That's what people understand. It's a massive sacrifice. Like, you leave comfort, stability, for just a wide open door of possibilities.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think you could have said that more eloquently. I love that. So, is there somewhere that people watching this, if they were curious about your photography, and they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. I'm Noah Sorensen. So Noah, NOAH SORENSEN, and then you can find me on Instagram. I'm at Noah Sorensen Photo.
Cool. Thank you.
And I'll give you the details.
Yeah, please, I'll type this on the bottom.
Please check me out.
Awesome.
Other things?
Any other comments or...
I think that people, like, especially if you're watching in the United States, like, there's this kind of brainwashed assumption from our media and just from the way that we're raised that somehow... traveling the world is like inherently more dangerous than being home in the States. And
the shootings and the schools and the random violence and all
I mean
that, yeah.
Like, each country has their own problems, and I'm not, and it depends on where you live, obviously, and I'm not trying to say the United States is more or less dangerous than the places I've traveled. What I am trying to say is that if you travel smart, if you do the right things and you practice the right practices, you can be really quite safe out here. I've been in South America for a year. Very few things have happened to me negatively, and it's just simply not true. Like, I would say that South America probably is, in some cases, safer depending on where you live, but at least equally as safe. And just, like, don't be so afraid of other countries. It's just, people are just people. They're just living the world they want. Maybe a house, some food, some water, a little bit of love, and not more, and that's pretty universal. And the more that I travel, the more I just start to see that just, like, everyone wants these same things. Obviously, when people don't have access to these things, places get more desperate. And in certain places, you know, you really need to be careful. But I would say in 95% of South America I've been in, I felt quite safe. And so I think it's a misperception.
Yeah.
Big time is that it's, like, really dangerous down here.
Yeah.
People think South America and they think of, like, heads cut off in Mexico. Oh. And it is not like that. Like, you know, that's just...
So true. I started in Colombia and was just, you know, had to fight that ideal that the media had fed me that, you know, it's guns and drugs and I don't know. But it was lovely people, lovely experience, beautiful. So absolutely, like, a lot of what you hear and a lot of what you perceive to be true about traveling and places being dangerous is completely false. But, of course, you have to be smart and you do have to perhaps travel a little differently than you might in America. But if you are smart, like you've already said, it's an amazing experience.
Of course. And I mean, obviously, that being said, there are places in the world, like, you just shouldn't go.
stay on top, like, of social media. Like Venezuela, like, right now might not be, like, the greatest idea, but
just pray for Venezuela, because it's a really sad humanitarian disaster going on there. I can't go to Venezuela right now. I mean, it's too much of a risk, and I think that's kind of the attitude to approach with any country. I mean, unfortunately, because where I'm from, pretty much the same thing with a lot of places in the Middle East would just not be an intelligent destination for me to go see. As much as I want to go see it, you have to pay attention to places where it's just not going to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the perception that the whole world is like this is just absolutely bananas. Like, most of it's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
I think one other thing is just like being uncomfortable, right? Mm. So, like, I'm the kind of person that really likes to be uncomfortable. I like to be in France because, like, I don't speak any French and I can't communicate with anything, with anyone, and I just have to get back to this, like, basic human interaction of just, like, pointing things out.
That's a great point.
Like, I like this, but it is absolutely not for everyone. A lot of people like to be comfortable. They don't like being uncomfortable.
So true.
And I would say that, like, one of the biggest things I've learned in the last 15 months is just how to just embrace being uncomfortable and be totally okay with it. And just realize that, like, you might be uncomfortable right now, but, like, it'll pass and you'll get to, like, a new situation and, like, you can be comfortable again. What I've realized with that is, like, the more comfortable I get, the more my happiness goes up in life. Because, like, if I can just be comfortable and relax with everything and, like, any situation, anything negative that might happen, and I'm still just sitting there just totally okay with it, that's just a very, very nice, like, attitude and lesson I've learned from 15 months of travel, definitely. It's just, like, how to just relax, be comfortable even when it's uncomfortable, and just be okay with whatever situation is going to come your way. Like, you can handle it, and you'll get through it. And if you're never uncomfortable, you're not going to gain that strength. Like, if you just stay in your if you just stay in your comfort zone, you're never going to gain the experience and power to, like, be uncomfortable. And then when you're uncomfortable, you're going to be freaking out because you're not used to it. But if you get used to being uncomfortable, it's like, I don't know actually how I'm going to react when I get back to the States, because, like, everything's going to be comfortable. And I'm going to be, like almost looking for, like, the uncomfortability.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, things are too good. Like, what's going to go wrong? Whereas when things are constantly going wrong, you just get used to it and you're just fine with that. Like,
but I think that's, I've written some blog posts about this that you obviously, to do this, you have to step way outside of your comfort zone to begin with. But I found that the more that I've been willing to go expand my comfort zone, it's like, of course, then your comfort zone gets wider.
Yeah.
And then you just, it's weird, right? So if you're in a place where you feel so uncomfortable with many things, it's the journey is actually by stepping outside your comfort zone and taking that risk, you get more and more comfortable with yourself and your life. I don't know why that is, but...
Well, I just think that... Like, I've had so many crazy experiences now that I feel just, like more confident in handling any single thing that happens. As opposed to a couple years ago where I just hadn't had as much experience with a bunch of crazy stuff happening.
Yeah.
So, like, the more craziness you have in your life, the more used to it you get just being crazy.
Yeah.
And then it's just this confidence of, like, oh, if this was to go wrong, I've been in worse situations.
Yeah.
If this is to go wrong.
I am looking for you if you would like to be interviewed for this series. What I'm looking for are people, anyone, if you're over 40, you've left something stable work, a job in corporate, for a longtime dream of traveling the world. And you've been on the road at least 3, ideally 6 months, but at least 3 months. And I'd love to hear your experiences. So if you are that person, please contact me. You can either go to my website, www.heatherbegins.com. You can reach out to me on Facebook. I'll put my information again below. I'd love to hear from you and have you be my next interviewee. Until then, take care. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.